If you were outside anywhere last night, you probably heard that. Those were Seahawks fans in the University District celebrating the team's Super Bowl 48 win last night.
You know, the Seahawks showed the Denver Broncos what's what last night. We don't see victories more decisive than that in the Super Bowl.
Can I use the word trounce?
You can use it.
I can use
it. Actually, I should say we do see some trouncings in the Super Bowl, but we expected a real competition on this
game. Yeah, wasn't. Well, in the U District and all over the region, people by the thousands poured into the streets after the Lombardi Trophy was awarded to Paul Allen. People were chanting, they were drinking, they were dancing, and in the University District, I watched them burning up their couches. Something curious, I think.
Maybe they were orange couches.
Maybe.
Collectively, we've adopted the 12th man identity here. We have jumped on the bandwagon. We were hungry for a victory. We haven't had a men's professional sports title since 1979.
Well, so what does that mean for us, for you, for the soul of this region? Give us a call, 206-543-5869, 1-800-289-5869. Knut Berger has been thinking a lot about this question. Knut is the Mossback at cross.cot.com. He is a regular on our Friday Week in Review panel, and he is a Seahawks fan. And if you ever went to a Seder, Knut, I would ask you, how is this Super Bowl night different from all other nights? How is this different from 1979 Sonics championship?
You know, that's interesting that you brought that up. I mean, one of the things is football is a much more popular sport. Most people don't remember, though, what a big deal that 79 championship was. 300,000 people plus turned out for the victory parade. And that's a percentage of Seattle in 1979. It was the biggest crowd since VJ Day.
Wow.
You know, since the end of World War II. It was hugely, but this is kind of on a different scale, partly because, well, the city is bigger and more into football than I think it has been into other sports.
Well, Knut, it seems like many people region-wide bought into this 12th man idea. What about it do you think was so galvanizing?
You know, it really is hard to say. I mean, Seattle, like every place else, likes a winner. I think people like the story of this team because it in some ways does match the city pretty well. An underdog, people underestimated, doing something of great accomplishment. I think that was very appealing to folks. And then there's just the multi-generational thing. I mean, I brought up my son, who's now 31, to adore the Seahawks. And, you know, here we are kind of finally at the pinnacle after, well, how many years has it been since 1976? A long time.
Yeah, a long time. Well, we don't get rings. We don't get the money. So how does a victory in the Super Bowl really affect us?
You know, it's one of those things that sports people talk about, and it's really hard to explain, but there is a kind of community bonding that takes place, and I just got such a kick out of watching this because it only happens rarely, where you start to see people who you know aren't football fans talking. They're not even friends, meeting and talking in the street, you know, nodding at each other, just that way that there's a kind of common community that's created by having so many kind of hopes and dreams wrapped up in the group of people that seem to represent the community spirit in some way.
I have to say, a friend of mine called it like one giant snow day. Well, we have 12th men, 12th men and women and kids here on the west side of the mountains, but there were also Seahawks fans on the east side. Do you think this is going to help part the Cascade Curtain a little bit?
Well, you know, I think one of the reasons it works is it sort of transcends politics. I mean, you can read anything, you know, anything into it you want, but it really sort of, you know, that prejudice that people have about Seattle often outside the Seattle area just kind of disappears. I don't think that glow will last. I don't think it's going to change the dynamics in Olympia, but it is one of those things that gets everybody thinking and kind of moving in the same direction for a while, and that's really refreshing.
Knut Berger is the Mossback at crosscut.com. He's written an interesting column published today on Crosscut. You can read about that. And you can hear him Fridays on our regular Friday Week in Review, and I trust that it will still be Blue Friday for you when you come in this week, Knut.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm kind of walking on air.
Well, thanks so much for giving us a call. And listeners, we'd like to hear from you. What does the Seahawks Super Bowl mean win to you?
You know, I asked Austin Jenkins earlier about how the legislature was reacting, and he said they had gotten rid of a few rules. They were letting people wear blues and greens. They had sort of loosened the dress code. I said, so you think they'll work together on these other issues? He said, you know, this is outside politics, and people can say high-five each other and then still end up fighting over these issues. What do you think? How does this change our region? How does it change you? How does it change your neighbors? 206-543-5869. We'd like to hear from you. 1-800-289-5869. A quick call in about the Seahawks with you. 206-543-5869. 1-800-289-5869.
Here's what we heard from one caller earlier today.
Hello, my name is Burton. I live in Allen, Washington. Moved here a year ago from Denver. Always been a Broncos fan. And have to say, our family has never seen fan support like we have for the Seahawks. They're just a great team, great fan base. That's what made this happen.
Great team, great fan base. What about you? 206-543-5869, 1-800-289-5869. What did the Seahawks mean to you? And we go now, I think, to Richard. Hi, Richard.
Hi, how you doing? I'm still having afterglow. You know, I've been a big football fan for years, but it's really not almost even about football. It's the sense of community. I mean, you know, when I gave knuckles to my 96-year-old mom watching a playoff game and just hearing about my friend on Friday Harbor and how he's talking to people he's never talked to before. I mean, it does transcend politics and everything else. And these guys are good guys. I mean, Sherman's we have interesting characters. Our owner's a decent guy. The coach is a good guy. The general manager. So it's easy to come together. You know, there's not any buts. You know, it's a positive thing. I mean, I guess people in Alaska, in little fishing villages, were Seahawks fans. I mean, it's special. It doesn't happen in life. You know, it's what we all yearn for. That small town community, sense of community, people loving each other. And sharing something together. I remember in City Slickers, one of the most memorable moments was when they were talking, and the big guy says to Billy Crystal, you know, my dad and I couldn't talk about anything, but we could talk about baseball.
Yeah.
And this is what this is about. You don't have to be a football fan. You just know that we're all on the same team on this one.
I like that idea especially, David. We're all on the same team. Richard, I appreciate that. We're all on the same team.
Whoops. We just lost David.
I just let David go. My bad. And yeah. Richard at the same time. Sorry, you guys. Let me, I'll tell you what. Let's bring in Roberto. Hi, Roberto.
Hi. My comment is about the fact that I'm not a big football fan, but after the game, my wife and I went out driving for around 30 minutes afterwards, honking the horn, the whole way, leaning in on it. And the last time we felt energy like that was during Obama's election and for gay marriage. And yeah. So the combination of the three is really interesting, and I think it could only happen in Seattle.
Well, thanks for that, Roberto. Thanks for calling. You join in, too, 206-543-5869, 1-800-289-5869. Whether you're out honking your horn or sitting at home contemplating what this means for the city of Seattle. Last week it was Macklemore, Steve. This week it's the Seahawks. And every newscast you hear, Seattle, Seattle, Seattle. It's kind of bizarre.
Yeah, you talked about Knute's column. I liked what he wrote in his column. Seattle is a city that's built on youth and impatience, a do-it-now philosophy. Niceness is nice, but it shouldn't be primary. Energy is important, too.
Now we're tough. Now we're winners. Hey, Ed, thanks for joining us. What did it all mean to you?
Well, I think that overall, the average IQ of rabid sports fans is slightly lower than that of the general populace. And I don't understand why celebration has to equal mindless destruction. I would ask everybody that's so happy about the celebrations, which of the morons who broke the glass out of the pergola in Pioneer Square is going to pay the $25,000 to fix it, and where is that going to come from?
Marcy and I were saying that
same thing. That's a very good question. I was in the U District. Thanks for bringing that up, Ed. I think some of it did not end up... I think the pergola wasn't a purposeful breaking, but all the burning of the couches was, which I just kept thinking, don't you need to sit on the couches? You know, is it the beds next and the kitchen table? What? So if you're listening from a fraternity in the University of Washington District, Frat Row, I'd like to hear from you. 206-543-5869.
Don, what are you thinking?
I think it's kind of a guilty pleasure. I mean, I've probably watched, I can count on one hand the number of football games I've watched from start to finish in my life, but yet I got caught up in the whole thing and went to a party, and it was a fun party, but it's kind of hard to seriously say that I can take any credit for something I had nothing to do with. And, you know, but when I say, you know, it's kind of like pride in saying I'm from the same city that bred Microsoft, Starbucks, and Amazon, you know, it's kind of that type of thing.
Thank you for that call. Yeah, I can't take much credit for it, but I can sure bask in that afterglow that we were hearing about. The 95 Slide is a sports bar on Capitol Hill in Seattle. It was packed last night. They got rid of some of the tables to make room for the crowd that poured in to watch. Samantha Cohen is a bartender and manager. She said last night the bar had record sales, highest ever. Super Bowl was good for her, but now the season's over. What happens? Record producer Arwin Nix asked Samantha, talk to Samantha the morning after the win.
No sport brings in more of a draw than football, to our bar at least. But basketball is a lot of fun to watch, and we're hoping that we'll have a good crowd for that.
So do you guys is there like a day of rest after the Super Bowl? Are you guys going to be closed for the day to kind of get your wits about you and then reassess and go forward, or is it business as usual?
I did hear rumors we were going to be closed, but I don't think that's going to happen. I don't know.
Okay.
But I think it should be a rule that the day after the Seahawks win the Super Bowl, all of Seattle should not have to work today. I don't think it's fair that we all have to work today.
National holiday, the Samantha Cohn, one of the managers of a sports bar on Capitol Hill, 543-5869 is our phone number. Hey, Kim, you're not a sports fan?
I am not. What I like about sports is that it's one of the last places where both a very poor person and a very rich person go, and for a brief moment of time, their interests are completely aligned.
You know, Kim, we're going to have...
And yet at the same time, yeah, they can do something together. Yeah, your phone was a little bad there,
yeah,
Kim,
so
sorry.
We're going to take one last call from Hassan. Hi, you're on the air.
Hello? Okay.
Hi, Hassan?
Yes.
Okay, quickly.
Go ahead.
Yes, go ahead.
Oh, I just wanted to say I hated football all my life, but Seahawks changed my view completely. I love Seahawks. I love Seattle. For the whole football season, it was just the city pride, Seattle pride for me. But now it's more of a football pride than anything else.
Oh, well, that's cool. So you had a great time. And thank you, Hassan, and thanks to everybody who called in. The parade is, if the Seahawks get back from New Jersey, Wednesday, starting at 11, goes from 4th and Denny all the way down to CenturyLink Field, and you can be there. You can be there.
And now, the sound of the day.
There you go. Speaking of driving around and honking your horn.
Must be Roberto and his wife.
The sound of yesterday is heard by listener Marnie. That's the sound of celebration erupting through the streets of downtown Seattle in response to the Seahawks Super Bowl win. We're going to have that sound running through our heads for a little bit.
Well, I think at least we'll hear it again Wednesday. We need your sounds. What do you hear every day? Record 30 seconds and send the sound to us along with the story behind the sound. Email that audio to record@kuow.org. Include sound of the day in the subject line.
Records produced by Amina Asadi, Arwin Nix, Jason Pagano. Posey Gruner,
Christine Strike, Hannah Byrne, Andy Hurst, and Kava Anderson.
Bernard Ouellette is our engineer. I'm Steve Scherer.
Jeannie Yandel's our executive producer. I'm Marcy Silman. It's been The Record for Monday, February 3rd, 2014. Yay, Hawks.
Go Hawks.